Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the scariest, most terrible thing you could ever hear? As you take a few minutes to ponder the answer to that question, many things might go through your mind. Going to your doctor to find that you have cancer. Being on an airplane flight to hear over the intercom that the pilot no longer has control. To go on a trip to the Middle East, be captured, and then to learn you will be beheaded for your faith. The roar of a tornado only to look out the window to see it's too close for you to get to safety. Each of these is bad, but what Jeremiah wrote prior to our Old Testament text takes the trophy. Hearing God say, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I am bringing disaster upon them that they cannot escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them." God has promised to always listen to us and to hear our prayers. But there is a time coming when he will no longer listen. He will come to judge, bringing a disaster that cannot be averted, a disaster that cannot be stopped for those who do not believe, disaster which cannot be escaped. In this disaster, those who are judged unfaithful will go to where the worm continually eats the flesh. One will be in a state of dying, but never die. A time and place of total and utter separation from God and from all the faithful forever. This judgment only comes at the end of the world. Yet it comes for those who die before the end of the world, the day that they die. It could be in a year, in a month, in a week, even tomorrow. As with John the Baptist, Isaiah, Moses, and all of the Old Testament prophets, and every pastor since Jesus' coming, they have all been persecuted. And so too was Jeremiah. In our Old Testament text for this morning, he has learned of a plot against his life by the people of Anathoth, his own hometown, the very people that he was sent to prophesy to. Here's what Jeremiah had to say. "The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds." Now that may seem kind of foreign to us today. In the Old Testament times, God would speak to his chosen people, his prophets and seers, through dreams and visions, as well as his word. But for we today who only have his word, that may seem foreign or alien to us, or maybe that it doesn't even seem like it could have possibly happened. And yet that is how it happened. That's what he did for the prophet Jeremiah. Yet God had his purpose for preserving him. Perhaps because he had not yet finished his proclamation, his prophesying to the people there in Judah, even in Anathoth. Put yourself into Jeremiah's place. Can you imagine your friends, your neighbors, even your family, in Vandalia, Centralia, St. Peter, Chaubonnière, wherever you call your hometown? Can you imagine them conspiring to kill you? Not just arrest you, but to kill you, to murder you. Perhaps it's not so hard to imagine these days as it was 10 years ago. Speaking with the word of God, both the law and the gospel, put you at enmity with the world. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. There's no two ways about it. Did you think Jesus was kidding when he said a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household? Or when he said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus was not kidding, but speaking the truth. The truth that had been the case ever since the fall into sin. For all of God's prophets and speakers. Jeremiah was one among many. As you might imagine, Jeremiah was not terribly thrilled about this. In the next verse, he records how he felt about it. I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know that it was against me the devised scheme, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. Betrayed. That seems to me to be the best word as to how Jeremiah felt at that time. Again, these were his friends, his relatives, his neighbors from his own hometown. They were the very ones to whom he was called to prophesy. And they were treating him as a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. Put yourself in Jeremiah's place. Would you feel betrayed? Or would a different word of emotion take the place? In preparing this sermon, one of the commentary writers wrote about the practice to which he was referring concerning the gentle lamb. It referred to a tame pet lamb, such as the Arabs used to keep, such as the Hebrews too. A lamb which was familiar with the household, reared by them in the house, and that did not suspect when it was being taken to be killed. But Jeremiah, like Jesus, knew beforehand of the plans against him, and neither of them died until it was their time. Yet a few things separated Jeremiah and Jesus. When Jeremiah wrote that it was against me that his fellow townspeople were plotting, he was only half right. They were indeed plotting to kill him, but it was because of his message. Which wasn't his message, but God's. The people of Anathoth were actually against God, against his will for them. Perhaps that's where we get the phrase, don't shoot the messenger. The people were so riled up against God that they were willing to kill his ambassador. Yet did God have the authority to tell them what to do? He was their creator, and he was several times their savior. Throughout the Old Testament, we have time after time after time that God came in to deliver them. But just for the sake of the fact that he was their creator, God did have that authority. So you might be willing to say, absolutely, God had that authority. What happens, though, when it comes to your life and God's will for it? Is it so easy to say that God absolutely has right to say what you should do or what you should stop doing? And yes, you might be able to say that quite easily now here in church. But what about during the week? What about on a Friday or a Saturday or a Monday or even the Sunday afternoon following the service? Are you able to say that God has absolute authority over your life of what you should do and what you should not do at that time, at those times? God already knows that you don't keep him, number one. Time to time, you and I might get it right through his Spirit that we are to obey as God's ambassadors, speaking his word, both law and gospel, to others, to our neighbors. But the rest of the time, our sinful nature gets the better of us. You and I deserve the same treatment as Jeremiah prophesied against his own hometown, the vengeance of the Lord of hosts. Wait, I didn't finish talking about how Jeremiah and Jesus differed. Jeremiah was only a messenger, whereas Jesus actually was the one who was sending the message. When his fellow townspeople, even the world, devised schemes against him, it really was against him. And ultimately, Jesus let them carry it out. He played the part of the gentle lamb, letting them lead him to the cross of Calvary, onto that hill known as Golgotha, so that you and I wouldn't have to. Just as Jesus already knew that you plotted against him, he also knew that you were not capable of keeping his word because of the sin in you. Instead of turning against you, he let you turn against him. And he let your sin kill him on the cross of Calvary. God would not leave it there. He raised Jesus on the third day, as Jesus prophesied in our gospel text for this morning, the very day on which we celebrate his resurrection every week, Sunday morning. That Sunday morning, so many years ago, he did this to deliver another message, a gospel message, a message for the entire world. Your sins are forgiven. They're paid for on the cross of Calvary. Go in peace. So, dear friends in Christ, go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.